Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots, as this week we are covering Robot Wars, Series 6, Heat 259. Sorry, E, definitely E. Sorry, I've just randomly included a lot more of 259 for some reason. I don't know why.
Yes, but 259 is 259.
It is certainly the 259-iest of 259 robots.
And 259 plus 259, take away 259 is 259.
Right. Okay. Let's be serious for a second here.
Okay, Limestone.
Fuck off. So this episode, from the very intro, all they're talking about is 259, which is one of the robots in this event. It is an Adam Clark robot. Now, the reason it's funny is this robot is the meta. It's a four-wheel vert.
Yep.
In fact, it's really the first kind of successful four-wheel vert we see. But they go so over the top with it. Like, the way it started, you would think that this is like, it's like Mortis. This is the robot that we know is going to be a championship contender.
The next big thing.
In fact, I don't even think they spoil the episode because they spend so much time hyping 259. Anyway, let's get to the first match.
The first match. From Surrey, Agrabot 3.
Which is now a sort of cone shape?
Yeah, weird triangular something or other.
Yes, with a rear claw.
Which,
I mean,
it's a cool weapon.
It's a cool looking robot, and they do bring up its moment of absolute glory.
Yes.
Which is when it survived Razor.
Yes, when Razor killed itself, and you were also there.
Yeah, there's this the battle where there's almost this moment of Agrabot going, wait a minute, if I won, I've won! Also, I love its paint job. Its paint job is brilliant. I actually, do you know what? All kidding aside, I really like the Agrabot robots.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They're not necessarily fantastically built. I mean, better than we could do, but still.
True. I mean,
They're not going to win engineering awards.
Nah. But they're pretty cool. I haven't really disliked them very much.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say the first one they had was probably the worst one.
Yes, definitely. But that's also the one that beat Razor.
Yep.
Anyway. So, there are all the robots in this match.
There is. From London, Infernal Contraption.
Which kind of looks like Wish S3. It is a two-wheel tubular robot with a giant, with a tornado-style spinning disc.
Yes, kind of. It's a very weird shaped robot.
Yeah.
From Wales. Infinity.
Who? I've completely forgot this robot is in this match.
It's, well, my first note for it was, Infinity from the qualifiers for season two.
Yeah, this is bad. This is so bad.
And, obviously, from Essex, 259.
Oh, it was 259 in this episode. They haven't mentioned it at all.
Yes. He's here.
Yeah.
259.
Yeah. It is also here.
259 is here, and here is 259.
Right. I get the feeling that this episode has broken us. Anyway, as much as I could tell on it, 259 is definitely the best robot in this match.
Oh, yeah.
Infinity activates the pit, then jumps in.
Yep. I mean, wouldn't you if you were against 259 and you were made like you were from 1998?
Agrobot is just kind of happy to be there.
It's me, I'm back! I've not been here in 3 seasons.
And 259 is just tearing pieces off of Infernal Contraption. It's actually quite uncomfortable to watch after a while.
It's because Infernal Contraption doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It's like asking for it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm still good. Oh, are you now?
Now my face. Stop hitting me.
Stop moving. Stay down.
No. All right, well, I'm going to keep hitting you. Stop it. No.
Yeah, it does get quite difficult to watch.
Uh-huh. But it is pretty irritating at the same time. So, yeah, as we say, Infinity was out almost the second the match started by jumping out. And in all honesty, Agrobot just kind of hangs out. It's just like, you know what? I'm like, 259, I'm just going to let you do your thing. I'll be over here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, naturally, well, I think it does go to judge's decision because Infernal Contraption somehow just continues moving.
But by the end of this match, it's just, it's dragging pieces of itself around the room.
There's like a battery or something that's dangling out the back of it. It doesn't go to judge's decision, I beg your pardon. It actually tries to jump down the pit and then gets counted out.
Yeah, it's trying to crawl down. No more. I give up.
See, I'm out of bounds. I promise.
Stop hitting me!
Why? Why was I programmed to feel pain?
That's going to be fun to edit.
Well, at least, admittedly, you weren't that loud while you were doing that, so it could have been worse.
Yeah. Anyway, there is another battle.
There is indeed. From Staffordshire, the Stag.
Oh, this boy is ugly.
Yes.
This is an ugly robot.
Speaking of which, from Wales, UFO.
I mean, let's be honest, this match, it's two jobbers and two good robots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Essex, Vader.
Which is an enormous wedge spot with a tremendously large disc. And in any other scenario, this would be getting billed as the ultimate robot of Ultimate Destiny.
Indeed. Which, I think it is kind of justified.
It's a team that never quite hits their stride.
Yeah, but when its only real opposition in that aspect is the number 9 seed from Hampshire, Wild Thing.
Oh boy. So, this is an upgrade, apparently, from Wild Thing.
It's a grid.
Oh, this robot is bad. This robot is so incredibly bad.
Like, you had something good going with Wild Thing.
Yeah, Wild Thing. So Wild Thing was always it was a shield robot with a front spinner and lifter. It was a tough robot. It took a hell of a beating, but hey, it was cool looking. This version is very different.
Mm-hmm.
So the robot is now a triangular shaped robot. It's a disc robot. The one problem is that the disc is tiny.
Smelly.
It is small.
Like, I remember this new Wild Thing having, like, for some reason, like, the tornado-style, big, chunky...
Yeah.
...disc, and then when this came out, it was like, well, guess not.
So, anyway, the match starts. It's Wild Thing and the Stag get into a pushing match until one of Stag's tires gets ripped off by Vader.
Yeah, he just kind of comes up and just goes, that's enough of that. Bloop. It just rips off.
I mean, it's... Oh, we forgot a robot.
We did?
UFO.
No, I said him.
Just tells you how memorable he is. So...
You know what? UFO reminds me of... that robot from season 3 in the football, which may have also been called UFO or the alien or something like that.
Yeah.
But it just had a big bad drawing of an alien face on it and couldn't really do anything else.
Yes.
But UFO has headlights. That's pretty cool.
Yes, it does have headlights. That's nice.
So Stag gets a grip on Wild Thing, as you say, until one of the tires gets ripped off by Vader, and then next time we see Stag, its claws are all completely bent in opposite directions.
Yes.
And
I think it's Vader that does that.
Yeah. I mean, Vader's weapon is pretty nifty when it goes.
Yeah.
And then kind of the second part of this fight is Wild Thing being stuck in Vader, which we will see again later on.
Yeah, because what happens... Wild Thing's weapon does not work. It just constantly breaks. But every
time... It's incredibly
time,
flimsy.
But every time it does, it gets jammed right in.
Because they talk about Vader's armor, and it is pretty thick plastic.
Yeah.
So UFO hits the pit, Stag is counted out, and then Sir Killer chokes the chicken.
Yeah, the chicken, and it's adorable, and Sir Killer picks it up.
By the neck.
Oh, it's yes.
Yeah, so just to confirm, the stag had a plastic chicken on the back of it, which fell off during the fight.
I kind of wish we could hear that. There's a part of me wish they'd somehow got the sound effect in of that chicken being picked up and just like.
Yeah, that would have been good, actually.
Nice.
But the fact that, like, Sir Kellogg clearly picked up that chicken from the floor, like, that's actually quite... I would have kind of liked to have seen that, to see how it went about doing that.
Yes, it would have been impressive.
So, the end of the match comes, as we said, with Vader and Wild Thing stuck together and... destructive embrace of some kind, and UFO's like, I better make it look like I'm actually doing something in this match, and then pits the already eliminated stag.
That's like, it's clear from the start, it's like, right, we have two jobbers.
Yeah.
We have two jobbers, and they're there to job, and then...
Yeah. Team UFO says, ah, well, it's not a lot of damage, it'll be ready for next year, and it's like, maybe you should have a wee year off, bud.
But if you take 1 year off, you'll never see us again.
Great. Because it was like, even they didn't seem that interested in the robot, because when they were trying to describe UFO, it was like, oh, it's got a jaggy, pointy, flippy thing, then some sticky, wicky things, and some sharp, pointy things on the back.
Yeah. Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TekNoAxe.
The second round, Agrabot versus Vader.
Oh, this is virtually a kill shot.
Oh, yeah. This is almost like Pussycat Hypnodisc levels of one in a million shot.
Yeah, Agrabot just gets caught from behind. And you just...
and Dr. Fist wasn't even here.
And you just see as the back just kind of explodes out.
Yeah, because like the thing is, like, I thought that maybe it had taken out a wheel, but Agrabot just stops dead. It must have knocked out the link. So 3-2, sideways 1 in the crowd. It's still there. It still annoys me. Fix it. Because it's clearly a shot they took once, and it's like, we've clearly seen other shots of people doing the 3-2-1 with the signs, but we've done it properly. Just use that one.
Yes.
I'll stop moaning about it when they stop showing it. Bloody kids. Can't, you had one job.
Yeah.
The kid's probably about like 20... No, probably more than that. Like 30 years old now.
Aye.
So, one in a million shot. That was really about it. Then Vader adds insult to injury by then, like... bending one of the grippy prong thingies and just like bends it like all the way up. And it's like, oh, that wasn't needed, but thanks.
Yeah.
So Matilda hits the pit and down goes Agrabot. Nice, quick, and easy advance for Vader into the final.
Yep. I mean, why even having the LM match? We know for a fact that 259 is the greatest robot in all of existence.
Mm-hmm.
They've hyped it up. And the best part is, you can almost see someone going to John Pierce, guys, don't hype this so hard.
Or maybe it was purposefully because of the outcome. Like, they had to overhype 259 so that it made it seem as if it was a bigger deal when somebody finally beat it. So, let's get to the fight, because the fight was awesome.
Yes. Oh, the fight's cracking.
259.
So, the start of the fight, 259 bodies Wild Thing. I mean, it's genuine. Like, if it wasn't Wild Thing, who we know built such tanky robots,
yeah,
this would kill 90% of robots. 259 just yeet. And then you
fucking
Wild Thing just goes, I can take more. Goes for another one. And you just see as the belt flies off of 259's weapon. It's
like, thank you, may I have another? And then it's like, then he gives him that other one. And then, yeah, as you say, the belt just goes, like, it's not like it snapped, it just fell off.
Yes, it's weird.
Like, the impact was so grand that, like, it bumped 259 up in the air and then just, like, the belt just slid off the side because it was still a full belt lying on the floor.
Yes.
And from that moment on, Wild Thing's weapon wasn't working.
Because and it so never two, does.
No. And then 259 started using his back end with the kind of slant to still push Wild Thing about. And the only thing that saves Wild Thing in this fight is the fact that in the last 10 or so seconds, maybe slightly longer.
What I think will happen is it'll have been 25 to 29 seconds, as in it's right on the borderline of if the match went on any longer, we would actually be counting you out.
Mm-hmm. So 259 at the end of this fight is technically dead.
Yes.
But they stop, they go to a judge's decision, and they give the decision to Wild Thing purely for the fact that 259 had died.
Yeah. And they said, no, 259 stopped. And the fans hate this. The fans boo this.
And in fact, again, as I'm prone to do, watching it on silent, I actually just noticed something there. 259 backs up and drives over its own weapon belt, and I think may have high-sighted itself.
That could well be what's happened, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a theory, a robot theory, but
please don't.
I love Matt.
I don't know.
You.
I find him quite irritating, particularly because unfortunately it looks like loads of people have gone down certain rabbit holes as fact in the FNAF theories. And it's purely stuff that he's made up. Well, not made up, but it's like...
He's theorised, but people are taking that as gospel.
And other people are taking it as gospel, and it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, we digress. So, Wild Thing, as we said, wins this fight, but Philippa actually goes to the judges' table and asks them...
Oh, I hate this. I hate this.
Really?
I really hate this.
Okay, well...
Because they completely and utterly bury the winner.
Yeah.
They basically go, oh, Wild Thing was shite, but 259 wasn't moving, so Wild Thing has to win, even though it was shite and it was bad. And you just thought, well, no.
I mean... Yeah, maybe they could have chose their words a bit more carefully, but, like, it wasn't a good Wild Thing performance.
Oh, it wasn't. And it's not a great configuration of Wild Thing.
That's maybe more what they should have said, but like they, yeah, okay, I'll give you that. They definitely undersold, like, because they could have easily said, "Wild Thing didn't have the best performance, but you know what? It took those hits and kept moving the entire time, and just pretty much outlasted 259." So it's like, it's kind of like, wasn't the best, but you know what? It still won.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, I'll absolutely give you that. They did kind of undersell Wild Thing in this.
Also, because what Wild Thing did, which is really impressive, is it did just go, "Oh, you've got a devastating weapon. Try it again."
Mm-hmm.
It broke 259 with his face.
And you know what? It's exactly what it did. And before the final fight, Vader versus Wild Thing, Team Wild Thing say, "Yeah, we're just going to do that again. We're just going to drive face first into the weapon and keep doing that until we break it."
And 259 versus Vader is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also one other thing. So Craig Charleston is in the crow's nest. How close physically did Jonathan Pierce and Craig Charles get to each other? About as close as you can probably get before the watershed.
Oh yeah. Jesus. Yeah, like Craig Charles's knee was rubbing JP's crotch.
Yeah.
I think, because, like, we've seen them there before. They were not that close that time. But I think maybe, like, the camera was set up weird and they're like, "Oh, God, we're going to get uncomfortably close for this."
Yeah.
It was just like, if like, fucking Craig Charles sneezed, he would have kneed JP right in the nards.
Why is Jonathan Pierce so high-pitched?
It's maybe a long day.
Yeah. Anyway, this main event is just nasty.
This has overall been a pretty good episode.
Yeah. It's not necessarily been the most exciting compared to, let's say, for instance, last week, where you had two absolutely phenomenal fights for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, we didn't have that opening melee, we didn't have the tactical fest that was Sacromlot versus S3, but
this had what 8 to 10 year old me, whatever age I was at this time, what
no,
eight to
it's
ten
a
year
little
old
later
me,
than that. Would no, it would be 12 to 13 year old you.
Okay, 12 to 13 year old me then. Smashy.
Oh, yeah, there are bits that are just the two of them having a shoving match.
Yeah. But we got a lot of smashy before it, and that's what you want from Robot Wars. Well, that's what I wanted from Robot Wars.
Yes.
So Vader embeds itself in Wild Thing practically at the start of the fight. They get free. And honestly, like, it's one of these things where I'm just kind of waiting for the Vader weapon to die.
Uh-huh.
But it keeps going.
Yep.
And then just like the opening fight, half of this fight is Wild Thing embedded in the side of Vader again.
Yeah, and having to be pulled off.
Yeah, eventually. Jesus, it practically took the entire set of the Two House Robots and RefBot all just like, "Right, you go on that side, you go on that side, you start pushing from this side, and we'll..."
Yeah, it's like the three of them are just trying to pull them apart because it's like a magnet. It's just like, no, I liked it here, bang!
But the whole time, while they're stuck together, Wild Thing is pushing Vader about. It keeps pushing Vader into Shunt. There was one point where pushes him into Shunt, and Shunt gets the axe right into the little slot of the weapon.
And it's almost like Wild Thing's gone, "No, I cannot let them get space, because if they get space, they will be able to hit me with the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And it is actually a great tactical move. It's maybe not the most exciting on telly, but it's brilliant tactics.
Yeah, and just try and stay stuck because I have the advantage.
Yeah, because yeah, exactly. It's the one thing I can do that's just going to is going to give me this win.
Because the second that they finally break apart, Vader's like, there's not a lot of time left. Go for the pit. We just need to end this now.
Uh-huh. Because they're not going to win a judge's decision.
Yeah, because they've been pushed about for three quarters of the fight now. They had some good hits early on, but like at this point, it was like, just get this over with. And as soon as they hit the pit, boom, the 10-second timer comes on the screen, and it's like, yeah, these users are done.
Yeah.
So, of course, Wild Thing wins the judge's decision, which, fair enough. It might have not done any damage or anything. Vader definitely had the upper hand on that, but everything else went to Wild Thing soundly.
It was out fought.
Yeah. And it would be interesting to see what would have happened had Wild Thing not got stuck on Vader for half the fight.
I don't think it would have ended well.
Nah. I would have thought Vader would have definitely won if that was the case. So I think, again, this just showed that Wild Thing was just incredibly lucky this episode, more than anything.
I mean, Wild Thing is a team that they've had tremendous success, to be fair to them. They've been tenacious, and that's always a great trait.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we have the trivia.
Let's.
Okay, I'm going to disregard that first one. Well, okay, I'll read it out. The outcome of the battle between Wild Thing and 259 was one of the only decisions that Philippa Forrester was noticeably upset at. No, she wasn't. Leading to the only time whereby she questioned the judges over their decision to award the battle to Wild Thing. I don't think she looked upset. I think that's a misnomer.
Yeah, like being upset and being quizzical,
yeah,
I think are two completely
going,
different things.
That was a controversial decision that it's clear the crowd does not agree with. Can you explain it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that is correct. Anyway. During the second melee, Jonathan Pierce said that Wild Thing made it to the semi-finals of its heat in Series 5, where it actually progressed to the overall semi-finals in that series. This contradicted a quote spoken before the battle that Wild Thing had made it to the semi-finals in previous occasions.
Mm.
I mean, it's a hugely successful robot.
Yeah. Can't deny that.
During a post-battle interview following the conclusion of Wild Thing vs. 259, a backstage announcer can actually be announced introducing Agrabot 3 into the arena. This suggests that both round 2 battles were actually filmed in the opposite order to how they were aired.
Interesting.
This heat contained 3 judges' decisions, all of which involved Wild Thing. The only 2 matches not to go to the judges' decision both contained Agrabot 3.
Hmm.
5 robots from this heat returned for Series 7. Agrabot, Infernal Contraption, the Stag, UFO and Vader. UFO was the only one of these 5 that would make it past the first round. Inferno Contraption and Infinity would meet each other again in the Extreme 2 University Challenge, once again with Sergeant Bash and Sir Killaloss as house robots. This heat was the only time in 3 series that Vader progressed beyond the first round.
Aww.
This was the only heat of Series 6 where the concluding next episode preview showed clips from both first round melees of the following heat. For unknown reasons, this episode in Heat F used the Extreme 1 / Series 5 style title sequence instead of the updated sequence introduced in this series.
Okay. Interesting.
During his guest interview with Jonathan Pierce prior to the Heat final, Craig Charles briefly stated that Wildfang was equipped with a flipper and a spinning disc, which was the configuration for the previous version.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your trivia.
Nicely done.
So next week, we have got some fun coming. We have a bunch of different robots. Only one new team, which is Chomp-a-Lot.
No shit.
And we have returning Stinger, Thermidor 2, 13 Black, Can Opener, and Fluffy.
Star-studded.
Indeed. But that will be next week on Rise of the Robots.
Always bet on black.